You will find it very helpful to have Proverbs 8 open in front of you. You will have noticed that there's lots of meat in there, and I will be referring to it as we walk our way through it. So please have that open in front of you if you are able to. Let me just pray before we start. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege we have of looking into it this morning, because we know it contains your very inspired words. We thank you that you've given us words of eternal life. And as we go through this passage this morning, we pray, Father, that you'd lead us to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Decisions, decisions, decisions. A professor once worked out that we're faced with around 317,000 decisions every day from the moment we wake up. Whether to get up or to turn over is the first one. What clothes to wear? Smart? Casual? What to have for breakfast? Avocado and grapefruit? Chocolate Weetabix? Let me think. Life's full of moments of dilemma, indecisiveness. Not every decision or choice is life-changing, of course, but some are. Which college or university to go to? Who to have as close friends? How to spend a Saturday night? What to watch on telly, listen on to music, read in books. What do we do? Who to marry? Where to live? How to raise your children? At those moments, who do you listen to? When you come to a crossroads, where the choice you'll make will decide whether you take a foolish path or a wise path, who do you listen to? I'm sure you've seen in old cartoons like Tom and Jerry and others, the moment when Tom the cat has to make a decision as to what he's going to do about that pesky mouse, Jerry. And then suddenly on his shoulder, a little demon figure pops up and whispers loudly into his ear. And then on the other shoulder, there pops up a little angel, whispering a different message loudly in the other ear. Which path will he take? Who will Tom listen to? The little demon persuading him to take one path, or the little angel who's persuading him to take a completely different path? Well, here's the outline of my talk this morning. Proverbs 8 makes the irresistible case for why you should take the path of wisdom, why you should listen to the voice of wisdom at the crossroads. After giving the context to the crossroads, basically the essence of the decision, wisdom or folly, we're going to see the reasoning behind the decision in a self-portrait of wisdom in two parts. Firstly, the portrait of wisdom showing her character and her ways for everyday life in verses 4 to 21. And secondly, the portrait of wisdom in eternity, verses 22 to 36. So, firstly, to give some context at the crossroads. In the book of Proverbs, chapters 1 to 9, King Solomon, King David's son, depicts a father guiding his son down the pathway of life, instructing him to follow wisdom rather than folly. In chapter 7, it's as if the little demon pops up on the shoulder in the person of an enticing woman. Verses 11 to 12 of chapter 7 say, "She's loud and defiant. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, she lurks at every corner." This is Madam Folly, loud and persistent. In verses 21 to 23, we read that she seduces him, her victim, with her persistent pleading. She lures him with her flattering talk. He follows her impulsively, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer bounding towards a trap until an arrow pierces its liver. Like a bird darting into a snare, he doesn't know it will cost him his life. Madame Folly is loud and persuasive, speaking lies, promises that are empty, which are actually trapping and bringing him to death. In Proverbs 8, in our passage this morning, we have the little angel popping up on the other shoulder in the person of Lady Wisdom. We find in verse 1, she's calling out. In verse 3, crying out. She's loud too. In Proverbs 7, Madame Folly shouting in one ear, come this way. But in Proverbs 8, Lady Wisdom's crying out in the other ear, speaking truth, verse 7, bringing strength, verse 14, leading to life, verse 35. Come this way, she cries. Where do we find Lady Wisdom here? Verse 2 tells us, at the heights overlooking the road, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. The son finds himself at the crossroads, the place where decisions are made, where journeys are begun. And the question is, who is he going to listen to, Madame Folly or Lady Wisdom? In chapters 1 to 9, the father tries to instill wisdom into his son's mind and heart, because from chapter 10 onwards, if you know the book of Proverbs, from chapter 10 onwards, he's going to come in his life's journey to a lot of crossroad proverbs, where he'll have to decide who is going to listen to. For example, chapter 10, verse 1. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish one heartache to his mother. Do you see the crossroads moment there? The choice between wisdom and folly. What's he going to choose? Joy to the father or heartache to mother? Chapter 10, verse 2. Another crossroads. Ill-gotten gains do not profit anyone, but righteousness rescues from death. Which way? Ill-gotten gains or righteousness? 10:8. A wise heart accepts commands, but foolish lips will be destroyed. Who will he listen to at the crossroads? Wisdom or folly? At every crossroads, there are two voices that are loud and persuasive. The question is, who will you listen to when you reach such a crossroads? The father's wise. And in chapter 8, we see wisdom giving a self-portrait in two parts. Firstly, in verses 4 to 21, we have the portrait of wisdom showing her character and ways for everyday life. We see Lady Wisdom speaking to the children of Adam, that is all humanity. We see her at the crossroads with mankind. We read I throughout this chapter. In verse 4, I call out to you. Verse 12, I, Wisdom. She's telling her story. She's giving her credentials, like today when we send in our CV to apply for a job. Lady Wisdom has the stage to speak to the son, so that having heard her credentials, he can then say, I'm going to listen to her and ignore Madame Folly. Here's Wisdom's self-portrait. Here's why you should listen to her. Straight away, though, what's the application of this passage? Well, as we were reminded in extra time last week, we can find clues by looking at repetition. This chapter is full of repetition. Verse 6, listen. Verse 32, listen. 33, listen. 34, listen. She says, see the credentials of wisdom so that you'll listen to me rather than folly. So why should we listen to wisdom? She gives various reasons in verses 6 to 21. Firstly, look at what she speaks. Verses 6 to 9, what she speaks. We read, listen, for I speak of noble things, and what my lips say is right. For my mouth tells the truth, and wickedness is detestable to my lips. All the words from my mouth are righteous. None of them are deceptive or perverse. All of them are clear to the perceptive and right to those who discover knowledge. What do you need when you come to the crossroads? You need to discern between right and wrong, between truth and deception. Where do you go for that? Wisdom speaks what's noble, right, righteous, nothing but truth. In our society today, where the idea of truth is under attack and up for grabs, where do we go? Well, there is ultimate truth, because there's order that the Creator has put in place. It can't be denied, like the man who throws himself off the cathedral saying, "It's okay, I'm not a gravitationist." There is ultimate order in creation, and there is ultimate truth, and it belongs to God. Wisdom speaks only truth, nothing but the truth. See what wisdom says in verses 10 to 11. "Accept my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and nothing desirable can equal it." Nothing. Nothing can compare with what wisdom says, not even gold or silver. Nothing in people, possessions, activities, achievements, marketing campaigns, politicians' appeals, which will lure you with false promises and flattering talk. Nothing compares with wisdom. Choose her rather than the folly of other paths, because she speaks the truth. Firstly, what she speaks. Secondly, because of where she lives. Verse 12. "I, wisdom, share a home with shrewdness and have knowledge and discretion." Sometimes at the crossroads, it's not a decision of right or wrong, but discretion and shrewdness, which the ESV translates as prudence. You'll have heard that word. We sometimes hear our leaders saying they're acting with prudence. This is a measured way, thought through, not rash and reckless. That's what you get with wisdom. At the crossroads, when we may be full of anxiety or doubt about which way to go, listen to wisdom, because she lives with prudence, knowledge, and discretion. "Trust me," she says. Then in verse 13, another consideration of why we should listen to wisdom is what she hates. So what she speaks, where she lives, what she hates. "To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate arrogant pride, evil conduct, and perverse speech." Chapter 9, verse 10 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So here, wisdom hates what will harm you, what will destroy you. Here's someone who has such a concern for you that they're driven to hate anything that will ruin you. That's good, isn't it? She's determined to instill you this fear, this reverence for God that'll make you wise. Understand the two voices correctly. Don't listen to folly, who will separate you from what's right and true. Listen to wisdom, because she hates what would destroy you. Listen to what she says in verses 35 and 36. "The one who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But the one who misses me harms himself. All who hate me love death." Don't love folly and hate wisdom, because that path leads to death. Love wisdom. That path leads to life. Wisdom continues, verses 14 to 16. "I possess good advice and sound wisdom. I have understanding and strength. It is by me that kings reign and rulers enact just law. By me princes lead, as do nobles and all righteous judges." Listen to wisdom because of what she possesses. She possesses advice, understanding, and strength. Sometimes we get to the crossroads and we know in our minds what's right and wrong, and sorry, what's right and wise, but we don't have the strength in and of ourselves to live it out. Wisdom has strength, power in the NIV. And she says, "Listen, if I can do it for kings, rulers, princes, nobles, and judges, I can do it for you, for the child, for the student, for the doctor, the office worker, for the parent, for the homeless, and for those who are struggling. I have the strength that you need. Listen to wisdom. The fifth thing wisdom says in her self-portrait is wonderful. Listen to her because of what she loves. Look at verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who search for me find me. Here's great news. Those who search for wisdom find her. In James chapter 1 and verse 5 we read, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. Ask. And this is relational. You don't need a training manual or a dummy's guide to wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom comes to the crossroads and she says, I love you. This is why you should listen to her. Because she loves you. If you're at a crossroads facing suffering or temptation or you're struggling, what do you need to know? Not just where your mind is, your knowledge, but where your heart is. Your affections. You say, I can make this wise decision because God loves me and I love him. You make the decision based on your relationship with him. Listen to wisdom because she loves you. And the final brushstroke on the portrait wisdom paints of herself in verses 20 to 21 speak of where she walks. So what she speaks, where she lives, what she hates, what she possesses, what she loves, and now where she walks. I walk in the ways of righteousness, along the paths of justice, given wealth as an inheritance to those who love me, and filling their treasuries. When it comes to making decision at the crossroads, wisdom isn't only with you then, but she walks hand in hand with you down the pathway of righteousness, a pathway of justice. And the result of this? She gives what you need and much, much more. Wealth as an inheritance. Full treasuries, verse 21. Wisdom says in verses 18 to 19, with me are riches and honor, lasting wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than solid gold, and my harvest than pure silver. Wisdom gives life, verse 35. Wealth and treasure that are far better than silver and gold, that endure even beyond this life. So what's the message here? Listen to wisdom. Seek and you will find. This is all very well. But where do we find wisdom? One day, Jesus and his disciples, Peter, James and John, went up a mountain to pray. And the three are amazed as they watch Jesus being transfigured and they see his glory. Matthew 17 tells us they hear a voice saying, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. See the glory of Jesus. See the credentials as God's son. Listen to him. As we see wisdom personified in Proverbs 8, we can't fail to see the one who was and is perfectly wise. In him, Jesus, Paul writes in Colossians 2:3, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He writes in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's where we look to find wisdom. Listen to Christ. And in the Gospels, we see Jesus walking this earth, don't we? And he's the voice of wisdom with the people he meets at their crossroads. Remember the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Jesus knows she's had five husbands and she's now living with another man. She's trying to find relational satisfaction. But what's the deep truth? At her crossroads, Jesus says she's thirsty. And rather than finding satisfaction in relationships, He can be the source of living water, springing up in her for eternal life. She listens to him and finds eternal salvation, salvation as well, yes, but satisfaction that's much better than silver or gold. Think of the rich young ruler in Mark verse 10. Jesus provides a crossroads moment for this man who has wealth and possessions, coming to Jesus wanting to know how he can gain eternal life. Jesus can provide eternal treasure in heaven that can't be destroyed. But this rich young man goes away grieving. He didn't listen. He made the wrong choice because he counted his wealth greater than the treasure Jesus offers for eternity. But conversely, in Luke chapter 19, we find Zacchaeus, an unscrupulous little man living off the tax system, stealing from the Jews and lining his own pockets. He comes to the same kind of crossroads. Jesus calls him down from the tree, you'll remember, and says, "I'm coming to stay at your house." Zacchaeus listens to Jesus and finds wealth that's far better than the riches he'd swindled from the Jews. Judas has his crossroads moment as he sits with Jesus and the other disciples at the Last Supper. He drinks from the cup which Jesus says is the cup of the new covenant that promises forgiveness, redemption, and life. But at Judas' crossroads, what weighs heavier in his estimation? A small bag of silver coins. Over the life Jesus offers at his crossroads, Judas chooses silver. Sometimes, however, the decisions we have to make in everyday life aren't clear-cut. Take Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10. Martha's busy in the kitchen, waiting on Jesus, but he says, "Mary has made the right choice." What's Mary doing? She sat at the Lord's feet, we're told, and was listening to what he said. Mary's listening to the wise one and makes the right choice. Do you see the crossroads moment? Sometimes we're engrossed by busyness and we need to just stop and listen. Make the right choice. The question is, at the crossroads you face this week, are you going to listen to or ignore Jesus, the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom? He's the one, like wisdom in Proverbs 8, who speaks truth, brings prudence, who loves you, gives you strength, hates what will destroy you, and the one who walks with you. To ignore Jesus would be to choose to listen to folly described in Proverbs 7, who speaks only lies, lives in a graveyard, hates you, has no power to deliver on her promises, loves evil, and leads you away from God. Wisdom speaks of Jesus and leads to life. Folly only speaks deception and lies. We'll all face these crossroads moments this week. Who are we going to listen to? I could finish my sermon there this morning, but wait. Lady Wisdom isn't finished yet. She's given us a self-portrait of her character and the ways and her ways to explain why we should listen to her as we stand at the crossroads in life. But now she goes further and paints a second self-portrait of wisdom in eternity, verses 22 to 36. We're taken from a time and a place on a street, and we soar beyond time and space into eternity in verses 21 to 31. The main idea of these verses comes in verse 27, where wisdom says, "I was there." Well, where was wisdom? Look at verse 22. The Lord acquired me at the beginning of his creation. Acquired can also be translated as possessed. Wisdom was there. And then notice the repetition. Five befores. Verse 22. Before his works of long ago. Verse 23. Before ancient times. Before the earth began. Verse 25. Before the mountains were established. Verse 26. Before he made the land. And look at the six whens in verses 27 to 29. I was there when he established the heavens, when he laid out the horizon on the surface of the ocean, when he placed the skies above, when the fountains of the ocean gushed out, when he set a limit for the sea so that waters would not violate his command, when he laid out the foundations of the earth. Wisdom was there before and when God created. But incredibly, she wasn't just there. We read in verse 30 that wisdom was the skilled craftsman at God's side and was his delight every day, always rejoicing before him. Why are we told all this? Because wisdom is fundamental in creation and life. The craftsman. If we want to navigate the crossroads in this creation, we need to listen to the craftsman of this creation. It makes sense, doesn't it, to live according to the Maker's design. When it comes to advice about anything, we want to hear an experienced voice, don't we? Someone who's been through it, who has the right knowledge and experience. And if you go for an operation and the surgeon smiles at you and says, "This is my first one," it doesn't fill you with much confidence, does it? You want the steady, experienced hand of the one who's performed it many times, not the trembling hand of the junior doctor just out of college. That's wisdom. Wisdom's advice is perfect because it's eternal. Wisdom was there in eternity, with God before creation, at the time of creation, and was the craftsman of creation. If we want to negotiate the crossroads of life, we have to listen to the craftsman of creation. Makes sense, doesn't it? Well, I'm sure you know where I'm heading with this. Don't we see Jesus here? Here's an amazing, mind-blowing truth, that Jesus is the wisdom that was with God in eternity, but he's also the wisdom of God who's with us at those crossroads moments. This doctrine's unique to Christianity, that Jesus is both the eternal Son of God, fully God, and yet became fully man. Incredible. God's wisdom can be mediated to you through his perfect Son, the one who is with God and with us. Who is there better qualified to be listened to? When we fully understand our relationship to our Creator, only then can we know the joy and delight of wisdom. Perhaps you're not a Christian here this morning. Maybe you know lots of things. You're very clever. You're well educated. Be aware, knowledge is not the same as wisdom. Someone said, "Wisdom is not intellectual. You can have as many degrees as a thermometer and still be a fool." Don't mistake wisdom for knowledge. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "You can teach man knowledge. You can impart information, but you cannot make him wise." You need to live in line with the craftsman of creation. Until you find satisfaction in relationship with your Creator God, you won't find satisfaction in his creation. The God of creation physically entered into creation in the person of Jesus, so that we can be in harmony both with creation and with the Creator of all. amazing, distinctive teaching of Christianity. This is the wisdom of God. 18th century minister and author Matthew Henry said, "We have the best exposition of Proverbs 8 in the first four verses of John's Gospel. Hear the remarkable echoes of Proverbs 8 in these words describing Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." Hear the parallels? What do we read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3? "The Son is the radiance of God's glory, an exact representation of his nature." Yet in Hebrews 2 and verse 18, we find this: "For since he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are tempted." The eternal God, the eternal Son of God, can sympathize with us in our weaknesses. He gives wisdom when we face those crossroads moments. He's been there. He's heard the voice of temptation. And there's amazing truth in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 16 tell us this: "Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for everything was created by him in heaven and on earth." And yet verse 20 tells us he died for us. He made peace through his blood shed on the cross. So follow this. We get to see the glory of the eternal Son of God in creation, John chapter 1 and Hebrews 1. Jesus sympathizes with us in our weaknesses and dies for us on a cross, Hebrews 2 and Colossians 1. So who are you going to listen to at the crossroads as you face them this week? Are you going to listen to him? It would be foolish to turn away from the one at the center of the universe, wouldn't it? The one who died for you. The one who gives life. Look back quickly at Proverbs 8, verses 35 to 36 as we draw to a close. Here's the crossroads that lie before us this week, every week. For the one who finds me, finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But the one who misses me harms himself. All who hate me love death. That's clear, isn't it? Walking with wisdom brings life. Walking with folly is suicide. Here's the application of Proverbs 8 in a nutshell. Just look at verses 32 to 34. "And now, sons, listen to me. Those who keep my ways are happy. Listen to instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Anyone who listens to me is happy." Listen to him, Jesus. Listen to his instruction in his word. Don't ignore it. Be wise. Be happy. Be blessed. When you come to that crossroads moment, and you will, don't ignore Jesus' voice. Don't ignore his instruction. When those moments of tension come, how are you going to make sure you're listening well? Verse 34. Watch every day. Watch every day. Commentator Derek Kidner wrote, "Wisdom isn't dressed up in Sunday best. Wisdom isn't any less necessary on a Monday than on a Sunday. Are you keeping watch daily, every day for those moments? Are you listening to him? Don't take a day off. Be wise. Find his life and favor. God reveals his glory in Jesus. God the Father says, listen to him. Learn to listen to him daily. True wisdom leads you to a life, to live a life in line with the God of the creation that you are a part of. So which of the two voices are you going to follow? I urge you to listen to wisdom. It would be foolish not to. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray that when you bring us to those moments of decision, those crossroads moments, that we would learn to seek your wisdom. We would learn to turn to you and know what you would have us do. May we walk the path that leads to life and ignore the path that leads to death. Help us at those times, even during this week, every moment of decision or indecision that we face. Father, would we hear your voice? In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is the Word who is God and was with God at the beginning of creation. He is the power and wisdom of God, the author of salvation. Let's close remembering this in song.